This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Now it's like, oh, I would absolutely punish 21-year-old me in a 101 right now.
Yeah, I actually 21-year-old me is a lot bigger than current me.
You're
21. Your 21-year-old self would kick your ass.
Not a shot in hell. 21-year-old me had no clue how his body worked.
And now back to your regular programming.
If you speak better to yourself.
You showed up for like probably the dumbest conversation we've ever had on this show.
Let's have that smile again.
Tell me how that happens. Physically should not happen.
Relax. Just,
if you say
give me as well.
Three times a day. God will light it up.
He's just an absolute hack. And he gets his ass kicked by his teammates every week. It's just terrible.
Welcome back to Hack City. Joe DeLeon, Sean Anderson, two former college football players from the University of Rhode Island. And today we're going to be sharing our top five offensive linemen heading into the 2024 college football season. We're also going to be reacting to our good friend and the GOAT of FCS football, his preseason way too early rankings for FCS. We also have a 28-year-old playing college football. And then lastly, we're going to be pitching some items that we think should be featured in our new apartment. We're getting even closer to the move happening to Hoboken, all that coming up and more. Sean, can you share with our listeners a quick word from our friends over at Bet Online?
Have you been tracking these NHL playoffs, Joe? These games are getting pretty absurd. That Colorado game last night, if you were a Colorado bettor, congratulations. Fantastic action going on in this postseason. I freaking hate the Celtics. I hate them. I hate them. But they are a cash cow. They will cover and they will beat their opponents all the way to the NBA Finals. Whatever. Go to BetOnline. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Yeah, just about every sport. You think it's... They're the line setters for the real degenerates. If you think that you can't find a cricket line on your app, go ahead, check out BetOnline. I bet they got some. They're the ones that are setting the fun odds everywhere. BetOnline. Head there. Use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I think you're losing your edge a little bit there. That was probably one of your weaker. It's probably one of your weaker reads. Okay, top five offensive linemen for 2024. We're talking tackles. We're talking guards. We're talking the full slate of offensive linemen, because this is your forte, Mr. Former Offensive Tackle himself. For anyone who is new to the show, if you can't tell. Actually, most can't tell Sean was a former offensive lineman. He's much bigger than he looks in the tiny box on the screen. I'll let you start us off. Who was your number five heading into the season?
Well, with the top five and top five spots, I decided I'd give each position their own spot on the list and then rank accordingly. So I'm not going to have two left tackles. I'm not going to have two centers on this list. I think I kind of went through the power ranking of which offensive line position is most important in my opinion. But number five, let's start with left guard. And I'll just say this also to kick it off. Big fan of the games of all of these dudes. These are all top five, and they're spread apart by a very thin margin. So 5-1, the gap in my eyes is not very far away. But number five, Donovan Jackson, left guard, Ohio State. He's got everything you want in a left guard. He plays perfect complementary football at the guard position. When he stays within the scheme, he's lethal. Sometimes he can get a little bit overeager chasing down a block, which is the best type of overeager that you can have, is aggressive, trying to finish a block, trying to find work. You're not going to find an offensive line coach across the nation that is upset about seeing Donovan Jackson look for work. At times, it's just timed wrong. You know, defensive guys are on scholarship too. It happens. But he's got the width that you want from a left guard. He's got the athleticism. He's got the punch. He can take on a big meaty and be quick enough to switch in pass pro. A lot of people have their perception of how guard play is supposed to work, and it's backwards. Guards are complementary positions across the offensive line. They're supposed to do a little of both. You're not, you shouldn't be expending incredibly high contracts on guards, but if they can play complementary football with a tackle and a center, they could play for a dozen years in the NFL, make a ton of money, get a big contract because they're good enough, and Donovan Jackson is one of those dudes.
Yeah, I admittedly wasn't the biggest fan of Donovan Jackson. Wasn't super in love with him. I know that he is a very experienced and good football player coming back. Last summer scouting, when he was potentially going to be in the 2024 NFL draft, I didn't grade him super highly. I thought he kind of stayed a little bit stagnant, but experienced football player on one of the better offensive lines in the country. So to include him, you're not wrong there. This is one of the few instances that I'm not going to sit here and scream at you like I did with Mitchell Evans. My number five, and I'm wondering if you've got this guy on your board, Tate Ratledge from Georgia, the big mauler in the interior for the Georgia Bulldogs. Some have asked me, Brian, who's a longtime listener of the show, both the draft show and this show, asked if I think that maybe he could play right tackle after I shared some clips of him. I think that this is the purest form of a guard that we could possibly find. Super wide, in a phone booth, he's got really quick, good feet. If you ask him to try and play outside of that, he's not going to be able to move that quickly to make up that space. But in a phone booth, super powerful, great leg drive. He'll run through your face. All of the boxes are checked that I look for in a guard. So Tate Ratledge from Georgia is somebody that gets me super, super juiced up.
Ratledge was my number four, and I have both guard spots at four and five. That's just my ranking. You see it in his game. You could tell that he is pro-ready right now. Last season's tape was impressive. His steps are always right. That first trigger step is always going in the right direction. And you see guys, you know, really good offensive linemen in the SEC that make big plays. Some of them can get away with taking like a false step backwards, and they're so strong and explosive that they can make up for it. But in the pros, that doesn't work because everyone's as strong as each other. So Tate Ratledge has that leg up or foot up on everybody else because his footwork's always right. He's not ever overstepping. He's not understepping. He keeps great distance with the center and the tackle. And this is a little tidbit here, Joe. You're going to get yelled at if you're a college offensive lineman and you're just throwing your head at people. If you're throwing that face mask at people, because where's your face mask go? If you're trying to, where do your eyes go? Down. You could try to keep them up, but you're also getting punched in the face at the same time by another helmet, face mask, or hand. So you never want to just go throwing your head in there. But the head, if used properly, can be a great weapon and tool. Ratledge, when he has his inside covered, he knows that his center's got him. So especially in a slide, he can just get his helmet buried, and that's just another hand, basically. Ratledge, strong hands, three hands on offensive lineman. No one's going to beat him. I think he was four for sure, and it different day, maybe I put him at two because there's a lot of real highs from his game. But I need him off the ground just a little bit more, and he's not on the ground sloppy like I'm on the ground falling all over my feet. No. He is on the ground from just trying to finish blocks or a little bit of overexertion. Again, not a complaint, but try to stay off the ground, Tate.
My number four, because you just gave us your number four, was Kelvin Banks from Texas, the left tackle who has been a very important piece for that Texas run of success this past year, and then as they were improving the year prior. He is very athletic, very, very fluid. Technique needs work, which is weird for a guy that's been a starter for 2 years. I think that his hand placement and pass protection is a little bit all over the place, but God, man, can he move? He moves so, so easily. And the thing that I really like the most about him, when we have a left tackle, and this might end up making him a guard in the NFL, he's a really good run blocker. He's got really good leg drive. He plays with really good pad level as a run blocker. You could see all the pieces there for him to eventually become a really gifted player. So I think that Kelvin Banks is safely placed at my number four spot.
Banks is really good. He is not in my top five just because I wanted
really?
To give a position. Just because I wanted to give a position each. Okay. If it was maybe, you know, straight top. He is longer than his strength right now. And he started playing at Texas as a freshman on the offensive line. Terribly hard thing to do. But he has such great gifts with his foot speed and the length of his arms and his hand size. Very good. You could just see his hands taking up entire shoulder pads of defensive linemen. Really like his game, but he just needs a little bit more tweaking, and then he could be really, really good at the next level, because he's got the size, he's got the athleticism. It's just a little bit of polish, and then he's there. My number three, Joe, Jonah Monheim from USC.
Okay.
He would be my right tackle in this top five. That's where I would put him. He has played right tackle, right guard, and left tackle at USC. He played plenty of left tackle there last season. I think he's more of a right tackle. His feet are so active, and his hands are just as quick. You can either be slow, methodical, patient, look at me, I'm so smooth and sweet tackle, right? That's just, hey, my hands are stronger than yours. My base is stronger than yours. I can do this. Or you can be Jonah Monheim, who is, look at my feet. They're going to go like pistons for this entire game. And that's how it's going to have to be if I want to keep you ahead of me. So his effort as an offensive lineman keeps him up to par with all the great athletes that he has to go against on the outside. I like his mentality in the run game. He's looking for blocks. He's got good hand placement. I really like that he's been experienced all across the offensive line, because they get a lot of offensive linemen, a lot of burn at different positions. So I like that, especially when you're going to the NFL. A team knows that they can move you where they need to move you, and I haven't seen much drop off in any of the three positions that Monheim's played.
Where did you find him? Like, serious question. Like, I just feel like he isn't really big, and this isn't a knock. I know I've been screaming at you a lot lately, but like, shut the fuck up, Siri. Jesus, I need to unplug this goddamn HomePod. Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! Like, I'm worried that this stupid thing's gonna, like, make a phone call in the middle of me doing a show once. It happens, I think, once every 2 weeks.
Is it on your phone? What's that on?
Oh, it's a HomePod. I have a HomePod. It was a Christmas gift, like, 4 years ago, and the stupid thing doesn't even work. It doesn't even, if, like, I want to play a song now, it doesn't connect. But it listens to me at all hours of the day and then tries to ask me if I want to do something for whatever.
Monheim. Joe, you seem a bit stressed out. Maybe you take a walk, and then what do? You just yell and scream at it?
Yeah, I yell and scream at it.
I turned my Siri off 3 years ago because I didn't want to deal with it. Oh, yeah, you, Joe.
Where did you find him?
I find him when I'm doing these top five. I'm researching last year's, what is it? All conferences, first team, second team, third team. I'm looking at other articles that are put out by college football writers for best returners, all that. Work between the two of them. Start doing some, just some light reading. And then start getting into film. And then when I watched some Monheim film, I really enjoyed the way that he played.
So this was a battle going on over here.
This was a natural raw discovery. Yeah, you versus technology, me against nature. This is really, we're really clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah, Sasquatch. Yeah,
it's a bit of a deep cut, but on this tackles list that I think, I wish I could give credit. I'll give credit maybe later. But yeah, I just found it doing research. What do you find?
My number three, and I'm perplexed because I think you're missing some important players. Tyler Booker from Alabama for me was my number three. He's a mauler. He's very physical. I posted a clip of him on Friday really applauding him for his pass protection. And all I said was I could sit and watch this guy in pass pro all day. He has a really good base, really good feet. He mirrors really freaking well. He keeps guys in front of him really well. Maintains like a really, really just consistent frame of where a defender is in front of him. He is so steady. Now, again, another guy who needs a little bit of work, but he should be a first rounder this upcoming year. He is very, very athletic and very gifted.
Solid, strong. His shoulders, you could just tell, you could just tell there's no amount of weight he couldn't put over his head on an overhead press, obviously within the human realm of possibility, but Booker's on there. I already burned my two guard spots, though, Joe. I really like him as a guard. Yeah. I do. His feet are solid. His core strength is strong.
Jonah Monheim.
That's a tackle play. Right tackle more important than both the guard positions.
So you don't have Emory Jones on here?
No. I have two guards, a center, and two tackles. My list could have been broken up as just tackles and interior, but this is the way I did it.
Okay, so you put on, instead of
one of the best right tackles in college football, who I look, he's my number, where did I have him? He was my number two. Emory Jones is my number two, to jump ahead a little bit. So you went with a guy who played on one of the most mediocre offensive lines last year and was a liability over Emory Jones, who is extremely physically dominant and beats the living hell out of defensive linemen that he faces off with. Wait, this is last week all over again.
I just would have put all five tackles on my list if I had that, because I
have three guards.
Okay, that's your approach. You went three guards. Do you have a center?
No.
I have a center. Why would you not bring up a center?
All right, who's your center? Is your center number your number two?
Most important position on the offensive line.
Who's your center?
Parker Brailsford. Go ahead. You don't like it? Why wouldn't you like it?
He's fine.
Yeah, he's fine. Modern center. All right? Everyone saw what Kelsey's been doing. He's another slim center. Washington to Alabama. Super fast. Agile. We'll just run up on the linebacker as quick as the ball is snapped. He's got what you want. And he was a center of a Washington offensive line that was good last year. And now he's going to Alabama. We'll be leading that offensive line this year. He's a stud.
I think you're getting too cute with this. I think you got a little too cute with it, and you kept guys off the list that should.
It's five. It's five positions on an offensive line. We're reducing it to a five list.
This is some offensive line mental math going on right here.
You know what? I can't wait to do the specialists. I'll just do my.
We're
top
not
three
doing the. We're not doing the specialists. There's one quarterback on the field. Like, we're gonna do one quarterback? There's three to four receivers on a field at a given time. We did only receivers.
You can't just start scaling left tackles against right guards without an explanation. You can't just do that.
Yeah,
all right?
Can.
They're vastly different positions. And you're getting mad because I'm applauding Monheim for being able to play three different and excel at all three of those positions at being a number three.
I don't think Monheim's very good. Right. I don't know why the hell. I don't mind Brailsford. I don't mind some of the other picks he had, but I really hate this Monheim pick.
That's fine.
Will Campbell, your number one?
You can hit it. Yeah, Will Campbell's my number one. Duh. He's a machine. Right. He's a Terminator. You really get mad talk all you want, but this is how an offensive line list should be compiled. Yeah.
I really like Will Campbell. He is the epitome of just knowing how to go to war on every single rep. He's very tactile. Probably not the most grind you out meanest of the group, but you really notice how well he knows how to use his hands. He uses his hands really freaking well. He knows how to counter. He knows how to completely readjust, get back on somebody's chest really quickly. He's got really good base. Stance is really wonky, and I got in an argument with Blake about this. I hate how high his stance is, but he is exactly what you look for in a tackle that you're going to draft in the top 15 picks.
If you have strong enough legs and a strong enough back, you can have a high stance, but you have to earn a high stance, and he has earned the high stance. Did you ever see me sitting in a high stance, Joe? Or did you see me with my hand out as low as I could get? I didn't earn it. These are the intricacies of the offensive line position. So your wonky stance is a badge of honor for Will Campbell, because he can do that. He can pull it off. Looks at a two-point. You know how much sweeter you look at a two-point just sitting here, come and get some, versus head down, cloudy to clear like I'm in Little League? You got to earn it.
The offensive linemen think so much differently than just every other.
You know why?
Because they're having the same argument with Blake. He's like, it doesn't matter. It's just the way that he stands, and it's. He has trouble playing high sometimes. I think that translates.
Okay. I still think he's the number one offensive lineman returning. All right? I think he is. But I didn't want to. But I'm not going to go back to defending my list structure again. That would be boring. I'm happy with Will Campbell being my number one also.
All right, y'all. Let's move on to reacting to Craig Haley's Way Too Early Top 25. So Craig the GOAT. We love Craig. He dropped his Way Too Early FCS Top 25. We do talk FCS football. We talk all levels of football in the show. I'm going to do a very, very rapid read through and then just a couple of quick thoughts. 25, Youngstown State, tied with UT Martin. 24, Eastern Illinois. 23, Western Carolina. 22, Nichols. 21, Albany. 20, Richmond. 19, Tarleton. 18, Elon. 17, Lafayette. 16, Furman. 15, Weber. 14, Illinois State. Incarnate Word 13, 12 Southern Illinois, 11 Chattanooga, 10 Central Arkansas, 9 William & Mary, 8 Idaho, 7 Sacramento State, 6 Villanova, 5 Montana State, 4 South Dakota, 3 Montana, 2 South Dakota State, 1 North Dakota State. All right, South Dakota State fans. I thought about this. And again, I got tagged in this because it was like, oh, are you guys going to talk about it? I don't think Craig's off base here for putting North Dakota State at number one. I understand the frustration because they've got a new head coach. But at the end of the day, the version of FCS football that we have in Springs for spring ball is so different than the version that we saw, that we played in. There is so much roster turnover. So much goddamn roster turnover. Most of these teams that were really good last year have completely new quarterbacks that hit the portal. They've got completely new receiver rooms, defensive line rooms, starting offensive lines. All of the best players in FCS football were either drafted, and those that weren't moved up to the FBS or the Group of Five. None of them stayed. Maybe like one or two guys, but 90% of these players moved up. It's something that we've gotten yelled at for supporting before. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole. But I don't think it's completely off base to have something different than South Dakota State at number one. They're losing a number of their offensive linemen. They're losing Isaiah Davis. I would have put them in number one personally. What?
Both the Yankees are gone. They were
both the Yankees are gone.
Yeah.
My final point with... Yeah, I think they did too. I think they both went to the same team. My final point with this... We are at a point in college football and FCS football where nobody has any goddamn idea how good these teams are going to be until the first game kicks off. That's the world we live in. And if you don't think that's true, then I don't think you're really paying attention closely enough.
I would love to be I'm not going to do it, and I'll stand by it. Like, William Mary's not going to be in my top 10 for the official preseason top 25. They were such a disappointment last year, and I know they were struck with injuries. That I know what Yoder went down, that really hurt them. But I'm not putting them in my top 10. To your point, shit if I know, right? Maybe they do explode again this year, and they just had it down. They had a little blip last year due to a couple injuries. It is a mess with all this roster turnover. Idaho was great last season. We'll see. We'll
see. Completely picked apart roster.
Yeah, a lot of these rosters are picked apart. Villanova, I think it's about the culture for me. Like Montana State, I still hold faith in for making deep playoff push. They have culture of winning football, and that's just because they string it together. Similarly for Montana, and then, you know, the Dakotas obviously have good schools. Craig did make a great note about that South Dakota team that he had at four. His quick hit. The offense returns 10 starters, including the dangerous trio of quarterback Aiden Boyman, Travis Theis, and Carter Bell. All three huge impact players for them.
Is it
last season?
I thought it was Theis and Bowman. Is it Boyman?
I thought you hit me with a Boyman. No, I think it's Bowman.
It's
I'm
Bowman.
I'm thinking of Boyman because of Rocky Boyman, which was just he was a guest.
I actually would go as far as to say if there was a team that, like, I can actually sit here and say, oh, I would actually move this team up. It would be South Dakota. Because, as he brings up here, they're one of the few instances where Bowman's a G5 quarterback at the minimum. Like, he could start for some low-level P5s, maybe. He's a big guy, good arm, and he stayed at South Dakota. I don't know the reasoning there, but he stayed. It's one of the few instances where we can point and say they kept their team together. Montana State, at the same time, brings back a little bit more that I can feel confident in. I'm not going to make the mistake of crapping on Montana, but they're also starting over at quarterback. They do bring back their star running back in Eli Gilman, and also Junior Bergen, I believe, is coming back as well. I don't know. I just don't think it's off base to sit here and criticize the placement of certain teams, because there's just you can shake up dice in your hand and throw them out, and we can have different combinations every single time, and I don't think any of them are wrong.
Did you see Tarleton State is going to be playoff eligible for the first time this year for the FCS?
I can't wait till the Tarleton State fans tell us to go F ourselves.
Fired up. Let's see. Hope you make the polls, folks. You guys came to the FCS, you know, smoking gun ready. Let's see how it goes. But yeah, they've got been their resource input for their football program and their aggressiveness. I've kind of started to turn the corner on that also, where it's like, you know what? Go ahead, be aggressive. Someone needs to be in this subdivision. Go ahead, Tarleton, make it yours.
All right, we've got another quick story here relating to college football. Monty Harrison, who is a 28-year-old former MLB player, 2 years removed from playing with the Los Angeles Angels, is going to be walking on to the Arkansas football team this upcoming season. He's not going to be on scholarship. He was formerly a four-star recruit who was committed to Bo Pelini's Nebraska Cornhusker team. That's a deep pull. But he was drafted in the second round of the 2014 MLB draft. In his debut in the time that he played with the Marlins, except for not when he was in the minors, but in the major leagues, he only bat 170. Not a very good player in his time. I'm kind of amazed that we're at this point.
Well, I'd say compared to, you know, other MLB players, 170 isn't great, but I'd probably throw him right at the median.
I just think that we're in a really weird spot that, like, this is what we're turning to. I guess I was walking on, and they need receivers. They don't really have many offensive weapons. It's nice. I feel like we're used to seeing a lot of baseball players that play quarterback. But, hey, man, it'd be cool if you get some playing time. I do feel really consistently weird about these old-ass dudes joining these locker rooms. It's just such a weird vibe.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a generation gap. But it's not like he's coming from the science school. You know, he wasn't a TA that said, hey, I'm kind of sick with teaching. Let me go play football for a little bit. This is, hey, I have eligibility. I'm going to come and rip it. I like sports. I played baseball. I did that. Now I want to go play some football. And I why not? I love it. This is a dude that loves sports. Loves it more than you. Loves it more than me, willing to say, all right, baseball, I'm not going to go play in Asia. I'm not going to go do the, maybe he's kind of doing a bit of the Devin Funchess bit, but I'm going to go and really, I'm just going to go play some college football. It looks like fun, and they got a lot of fans. Makes sense to me. Instead of playing in, you said he was on the Marlins? Okay, so instead of playing of, let's say, an average of 7,000 people per game over that season at home. So you got 81 games at home, 7,500 people, or 6 games in front of 110,000. I think maybe he wants a little bit of that juice. Why not? Go ahead.
Okay, so you brought up, though, that, like, oh, say this was just some rando that said he wanted to play on the team, and it's not like the 50-year-old guy that played on the South Carolina State football team. Like, that was weird. This is weird. This is even more odd to me that this is possible, and this has always been odd to me because Harrison's far more physically developed than the 18 and 19-year-olds that are on the team. He has been weight training. He has been, and I understand it's a different type of physical fitness to play baseball and football, but, I mean, you can see the guy. He's built like a grown man. Yeah, this is a grown-ass man.
He's going to be 10 years older than some of the freshmen that are coming on campus.
There is going to be some sophomore. He's going to be on the scout team probably for the beginning of the stretch, and he's going to crack back on some poor sophomore DB because he just wants to hit somebody. I don't know. Maybe I'm just projecting a little bit here.
Do you oscillate with that a little bit? Like, now it's like, oh, I would absolutely punish 21-year-old me in a 101 right now.
Yeah, I actually, 21-year-old me is a lot bigger than current me.
I would. I am.
You're 21. Wait. Your 21-year-old self would kick your ass.
Not a shot in hell. 21-year-old, he had no clue how his body worked. All right, he had no clue. He was just out there pissed in the wind.
You were in so much better shape, though.
Doesn't matter. I would have thrown him around, push pulled him. I would have just punched him right.
Your younger self would kick your current self's ass.
No way in hell. How are we? Okay, Joe, get the time machine out.
All right, look, all I'm thinking about, though, here with Harrison is if I got, like, from my perspective, say I'm running down on punt and he comes over and just smokes me, I would be like, bro, go get a freaking job, man. You're 28. Why are you doing, like, cool that you want to re-enroll in classes. Go to class. Go spend time with your wife.
What if man, he can make to the league, man? What if he could? It'd be sick. No, I root for the multi-sport.
He's gonna be 32. He will be past his window of performance by the time that he whatever. He's not getting to the NFL.
He could get to the NFL or the UFL.
Can he get drafted technically now? I don't know how that works.
I think you could, he could get become a UDFA now. Or just signed to the team because these teams are just signing kickers from Australia. They're signing signing people.
I don't know how that. Say he goes out there and he has like a 2,000-yard receiving season because he's just an unbelievable athlete.
I think you're thinking about this backwards, Joe. He's got no tread on his tires. He's fresh out. You are literally unboxing superhero that is just fresh and 28. All right, this is the we are unboxing physical human prime. I'm not sure how it's adjusted in the last 10 years, but growing up, it was known that 28 is like the male athletic pinnacle. Like that's when a male can be in his best shape is 28.
Is it? Can you cite your source on that, or are you just saying that?
Some gym class and some article from 2014 at Mount Vernon High School, Joe. What do you want me to cite? All right? This is a stupid from a PowerPoint from a scientific journal 10 years ago that I've remembered. And I even said, I don't know how it's changed.
But I think you're great at writing essays.
Athletic peak for a human male was 28. After that, goes downhill. But you could always build towards 28. It's probably a little bit later now, I'd say.
Yeah. I don't know about you. I'm just moving on from you yelling about that. Yeah, I don't know about you, though. Whenever you had a class that had like a guy in his mid-30s in it, how did you feel? Because I undoubtedly, absolutely hated those people.
We had a class
so mad. There was one guy who was a journalism student who was 40, and he pissed me off because he was trying too goddamn hard.
There was a girl in an audio class that I think was 28, 29.
Was this the class we had together?
Eh?
I don't remember which one. Which one was she?
Well, her work was not very, how would you put it? Good. But, you know, I actually didn't mind her because she had a positive attitude. She was just trying to go in and learn. Like, I'm not going to hate or bully or anything like that. But there's sometimes like the 40-year-old journalism guy that you were sitting.
Yeah, those guys are tryhards. Like, you're not going to, why would you, okay, first of all, why would you re-enroll and go, I'm going to pick the lowest possible income that has the lowest success rate of me getting a job? You'd have to take an unpaid internship to get a journalism job.
Yeah.
That's one of the dumbest things that I've ever, I digress.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I just always had a vendetta against these people for no reason. Maybe I'm ageist.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, you know what? I think
I'm a bad person.
You might have some of that in you. It's all right. Let's just try to work it out and get a little better. All right, maybe you just start volunteering down at a center or play some chess, something. Figure it out.
Speaking of ageism and also old people beating up on young people, there was this Reddit post that circulated on Twitter. There's been some funny reactions to it, and I wanted to talk about it for a few minutes. On r/trueoffmychest, my 13-year-old son got punched by his girlfriend's dad. My son is only 13. He has a girlfriend who he met at school today. He was over at her house. I've met and talked to her mom and not her father. My son texted me asking me to pick him up. It was earlier than I expected. I went to get him and I was horrified to find him with a bloody nose. My son refused to tell me what happened until we were home. I was cleaning his face and he told me very hesitantly what happened. He said that his girlfriend's parents told him to keep the door open. He said she closed it anyway because, you know, and he said her dad stormed in, grabbing him, punched him in his face, and yelled at him to never disrespect his house or his daughter again. I told my son that is not okay and that he's never, ever going there again. I'm so upset. I can hear my heart beating now. There was no reason for this man to attack my son, a child. I texted the mother and said, She said she's so sorry and embarrassed. Yeah, real tough guy running to Reddit to post how upset you are over the interaction and then texting the mom. Real tough guy over here. Kiwi Bear quote tweeted with probably the most, I think fits the demographic of our listeners and our point of view. I got punched after getting caught climbing in a girlfriend's window in high school. I wasn't mad since I knew the game. You should try to bang your girlfriend and their dad should try to punch you if you get caught. That's the way to sum it up. Yeah, you gotta understand. You're 13. You clearly this guy doesn't have a daughter and has never thought about having a daughter. I understand both perspectives. I'd try not to curse as much. I'd be really mad if that happened to my son. But at the same time, I'd immediately think, God, 13-year-old daughter with the door closed, we know that they're getting up to. You deserve to get punched in the face.
Yeah, especially if it's like broad daylight after school, like what do you just try to go? No. No. You got to get creative, all right? You're sneaking out. You can't just go running around in the house. And if you are a house that just allows, you know, doors closed and you know, boyfriend, girlfriend over, whatever, then that's your problem. You're just going to have to deal with that at whatever comes out of that. But optimally, if you're a dad, you are not having to punch anybody in the face, but you can instill a tone of don't think about it. Like if you can have a good in just natural intimidation, then that's going to work better for you than, oh, don't do anything or I'll charge out of you with the shotgun. I keep my 12 gauge in my closet. Okay.
Man, things were better when that was more of a thing. We can't get away with that these days.
Teenagers
trying to shoot a kid.
Yeah, teenagers now think all that stuff is corny. They think a lot of it's corny. So you got to just approach it differently. You can't be Mr. Stern strict, oh, I'm just going to knock your lights out. It's don't think about it. Don't do it here. Don't even think about doing it here. And if you do, then you think of the consequences. But it is part of the game. Whenever I was making an exhibition,
a game plan.
Whenever I was constructing a game plan, I was never factoring in, I'll never get in trouble. I won't get in it. Her dad will never get mad at him. No, it was.
Well, you were also an enormous child, so like I feel like the likelihood
with a very conspicuous car.
You would have beat the shit out of any dad that tried to get into it with you. Sorry,
I'm fighting a bunch of dads in my spare time.
I don't think any of them would try to fight you because of how big you are.
Yeah, and my size is a natural deterrent, I'd say, but I don't know. These dudes get crazy, and you don't want to mess with dad's strength. Why would you?
Good point.
They grew up in a time where fighting was just fighting. You went to high school, you fought. You went out and you fought. How many fights are you getting in when you go out?
None? Not enough.
None.
Not enough. Well, but this is the whole thing that comes into mind here. Kids these days, we sound so lame saying that, but there's no consequences. A lot of them don't think that there's any consequences. You can't lay a finger on somebody without there being a lawsuit. You can't do anything. There's no altercations anymore. There's none of that. It's all solved over the phone. Like this loser dad who rushed to Reddit and texted the girlfriend's mom.
I figure there's still altercations in Florida, and I figure there's still altercations in the South. Maybe not as much on the West Coast.
Yeah, I could tell this was in California or somewhere on the West Coast.
This did not take place in Arkansas.
I think this kid getting punched in the face, it is the best thing that has ever happened to him because his dad doesn't have any balls. So now he gets to know what it's like to deal with an adult male that does. And he needs to, because you know what? If this kid never ran into a situation like this, it's like the equivalent of, I'm trying to think, not so much like getting screamed at by like another parent who's a coach or something like that. But all I can think of is if you're not yelled at and you're not like aggressively punished for doing something when you're a kid, then when you step in the real world, when you're asked to do a job and you're scolded for being bad at what you're being asked to do, you're not going to be incentivized to learn and to get better and to take it on the chin like an adult. You're going to curl up in a ball and you're going to cry. So good for this kid for getting punched in the face. I'm happy.
Did you see those parents duking it out at the Garfield movie?
Oh, we should have talked about that. That should have been on the top.
That's actually dumber than anything that happened in this Reddit thread with the kid getting punched by the dad.
Wait, if your parents fighting in a Reddit at the Garfield Chris Pratt movie, and you're arguing over seats, or if your kid got bumped on the way in, you don't go to the
look.
You cannot be out in public.
I would be pissed too if I showed up and realized Chris Pratt was voicing another goddamn animated character. Okay, I'd be really
pretty
pissed off.
Wouldn't watch the trailer first.
No, because you're taking your dumb kid, and your dumb kid's like, "I want to see Garfield," and you're like, "Okay, I need to take this dumb kid to go do something this weekend." See, I shouldn't be a parent. You can't tell, because I'm gonna be mad taking my kid to the movie. I'm gonna sit down. I'm gonna get pissed off that Chris Pratt's playing another cartoon. And then I'm going to get into a fight with a parent. I think that's what happened.
I don't think that the parents were upset about Chris Pratt getting another voice acting role.
You just don't get it.
In a famous tone. But you know what? Maybe I don't. I won't get this one. All right.
You're going to get real rage.
That
one. You don't understand what it's like to be mad at the world, man.
I forgot how envious you could be. Because
No, it's not envious. It's just,
well, you
resentful.
Think you should be playing Garfield, right? You think you could play Garfield.
Okay, I hate when you do this, man. I hate when
I haven't done this in a while. I haven't done this in a very long time.
You don't understand. You try to understand.
Give me a lasagna real quick. Just let me get one.
You try to understand why I'm so angry all the time, and you think it's out of envy. You can have resentment without envy. You can just be mad at people and things for the way that they happen. It's allowed to work like that.
Why do you let that happen to yourself?
Because it makes me happy.
Let me get a lasagna, though. Oh, you're no fun.
Last segment. So we promised that we were going to do this. There's going to be multiple parts to this. So we're pitching. Sean and I are moving in together, assuming certain exterior things don't impact us being able to move in together. We're going to be decorating said apartment. A lot of loose furniture that I will be receiving from my family. I'm going to be selling a lot of the crap that I have in my apartment now here. I thought it'd be interesting that if today we each pitched three things that we want in the apartment to the other person, and the opposing person has to pick one of these things of the three, and then we will purchase it and put it in the apartment. Does that make sense?
That works for me.
Okay. So I am going to start us off here. This I need to share my screen for. To show you what it is. This one's a bit that I've been reeling up for a while now. So I mean, we need some sort of large wall art of a gorilla smoking a cigar. I don't know where we're going to put it. I think behind the couch is the best place to put it, but this is easily the best one that I've found. A gorilla, a monkey, some sort of primate smoking something is what I would like.
So you want our apartment to look like the back of a biker gang vest?
No, that's not what it is.
That's what a lot of biker gang insignias contain, is gorillas smoking cigars, smoking doobs, whatever they're doing.
You don't get it.
You know what? I obviously don't. I'm not in love with it. I don't get it, obviously. Do you want me to give my third option, or do you have a second for me?
No, let me do my first three, and then you do your three. Second one, if we can find it for an affordable price, this is something that I've thought about for actually a while, and I remembered when we were putting these lists together in pre-production. I think that instead of a dining room set, we should buy... we should find like a Subway or something that's going out of business, and we should buy a booth from like a Subway or a McDonald's, just like the really cheap plastic booth with a table. I think that would be an amazing vibe. I've seen pictures of people who've done it, and I think that it would really bring the room together if that was our dining room set.
You want an IHOP table and booth. To be sitting in our apartment.
Not IHOP.
And that's where we'd be mainly eating. Why not IHOP?
I don't like the IHOP setup. Because it's not the same if it's not sticky, and I don't want sticky shit in our apartment.
So you want Subway booth?
Yeah, Subway's the first one that I think of.
Oh, I don't know about Subway booth. I'm not McDonald's.
Sully Booth, not bad. Now I'm thinking about it.
All right, last one that I've got. I want to do like a large spittoon that we can put next to the coffee table. I think this might be the best idea that I've ever had. Like a nice gold spittoon.
You want a spittoon?
Yeah, I want to use it.
What are you going to be spitting in it?
Water? I'll find something to spit in it.
You're just spitting something to spit in it. Sunflower seed? What are you spitting
in this? I'll find something to spit in it. If I buy it, I will find a way to use it.
You got to start chewing tobacco?
We'll figure that out.
I think you would need to get use out of it.
I think that you would, you of all people who consume Zen would appreciate this.
That spittoon would get you, you would kick it at late at night, you know, on a barefooted kitchen run, and then you'd say, "Darn your fucking piece of shit," and then you'd throw it out and we'd never see the spittoon again. I know how this figures.
All over the floor.
What kind of benefit is that? The smell? Just the optics? What do you mean you have a spittoon?
The vibe.
You're going to make it a spittoon / ashtray? What are you going to do? Because then you just got a cauldron of dirt and badness.
I think it's a good idea. I don't think you get it.
I'm placing my vote now.
Vime.
I'm on the vote. Give me the smoking gorilla. I want the gorilla cigar painting. Okay. I'll take that.
What about the hookah? Can I reintroduce the hookah? What about the Aaron Hernandez fathead? Can I reintroduce that as well? All right, we're getting the large gorilla painting. All right, yours three.
All right, my first one here.
Yep.
I want to get a rotating award show camera bank where people that walk in can come in and then they can step on that little platform and then a spinning camera goes around them with like an iPhone.
Oh, no.
And
they How much is that?
That gets a big pop. I think we could get a cheap one. I think that would be a really good pop for people coming in. Hey, welcome to the place. Check out our camera wheel. Step on in. You can get a 360 version of yourself and start doing slow-mo emotes.
I'm already saying no to that.
Oh, you're lame.
No, because the worst people are going to be attracted to that. The worst people that you know are entertained by that. So no, I'm already saying no.
I also like the idea of doing a show from within the camera.
I can't believe that you actually thought that was a good idea. All right, what's the second one?
I just think you would get a good pop from guests. The second one?
Yeah, I probably would, but it's not the right guests. Is that a litmus test of us determining of who we don't invite back?
Joe, you don't invite the people that didn't get in the spinning camera back. Second one, this comes with a project. Rug gun and yarn and a little paste, and maybe I'll provide the projector.
Okay, so we're going back. This is not a piece of furniture. This is not an addition to the.
But it can be.
If you and I made a rug together, that would be a win. You did this earlier where you're like, I can make a rug. We're gonna get a rug gun and a projector, and we're gonna make rugs. And I can't believe this is the long con. This is like some long bit. The word rug gun comes out of your mouth when we move in, I will shoot you in the head with a real gun, okay? I will find one. I will get somebody to do it for me if I can't get one. I will shoot you in the head if you say rug gun. So no,
you don't. I've already agreed. Well, it looks like you're agreeing to a jellyfish aquarium then.
Oh, that's actually badass.
Modest size. Oh, god damn it! All right, well, we're getting a jellyfish aquarium. I gotta find. I've been tracking a couple for a while. It'll be moderately priced. We'll get some jellyfish floating around. They'll be on my side of the studio, though.
What's the most dangerous jellyfish that we can buy?
I think it's mostly non-venomous jellyfish, and that they're mostly just floating around because, again, Joe, jellyfish, not single cell organism. What am I thinking? What's the term for them? They're not a cephalopod. They're just
asexual?
Floating around. They're just pieces of matter floating around, man. But they're nice to look at. So jellyfish aquarium, that's what I was looking at. I can't believe you nixed the rug gun like that again. That's crazy.
I nixed it. You should have known coming into this that I wasn't going to say yes to that.
I thought you might have warmed up to it.
All three of those were terrible. Those were so much worse than mine. I ripped off five bangers.
You wanted to go rip a booth out of a Ruby Tuesdays and stick it in our apartment.
No, you're mixing up chain restaurant dining sets with fast food plastic dining sets. There's a huge difference. I don't want a shitty Red Robin booth. That's not what I want.
I don't want Applebee's in my living room. I want to feel like I'm sitting in a McDonald's.
Great. Okay? That's way more welcoming and inviting. You are such a cold inhuman. I don't want the homey, cozy feel that would make me enjoy my meal. I like this gray dystopia that I'm living in. That's great, Joe. Way to be. Actually,
what if we...
now it starts to make sense because I went to where you grew up not too long ago. I saw where you made it out. A lot of gray. So that makes sense.
All right. Now I'm having all these ideas. What if we got like one of those inflatable tube men?
You have already been locked in on your gorilla portrait. And now
I'm just pitching ideas. We don't need to go through with them. I'm just pitching ideas. Like what if we got like a full size one? So it's constantly bent over and slamming into the roof.
Your imagination and pragmatism are on the opposite sides of the spectrum. All right. It should kind of be a little closer Venn diagram. This is where we find the happy medium. You are either going way wild or way too practical. I need you right down. I'm the happy medium. An inflatable car lot guy. Where do we put him?
In the corner. You stick him in the corner and he's just, you know, he's vibing, but he's bent over.
So what do you want to do in this apartment, Joe? I'm guessing you want to watch some sports. You want to tape some shows. Really get into it. What do we need for that? We need a good acoustic environment that limits sound and has good audio. You know what kind of changes the acoustics? A massive moon bounce fan attached to an inflatable flopping around. And it's not something that keeps its structure and it's just a low... No. Because there's ends cut out of it, there's constant whipping sounds and smacking and flapping against each other.
You're the one who pitched to me once, and I think it was one of your best ideas, an anti-movie where everything is done poorly deliberately.
You know what?
And that was, by the way, that was Madame Web. Have you watched Madame Web yet?
No,
you
need to watch it. Madame Web.
Shut. I woke up at 4:45 this morning.
I hate walking through the woods because all these Madame Webs are getting in my eyes.
Joey Leon, Sean Anderson, I did subscribe.
Enjoy the loudest podcast ever coming to you soon.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.